You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. One of our mantras over the years has been learn from the best, and my next guest is definitely one of the best. I'm talking about CEO of Real Estate Results Network and founder of Drive Performance, Michael Sheargold. With more than 20 years of experience coaching and consulting, Michael is one of the most recognised and respected coaches in the industry, and somewhere between ARIC, Principal Advance and his upcoming event, The Business of Real Estate, Michael and I caught up to talk about some of the trends his clients are seeing, current coaching topics and how to deliver real points of difference to your clients in a changing market. We talk teams, sales psychology, and of course, some of the amazing lessons attendees have to look forward to at the Business of Real Estate on September 3 and 4. And there are still some tickets available at thebusinessofrealestate.com.au. Lastly, I managed to put Michael under the spotlight, asking him our Leadership Diaries questions. And even for those of you that know Michael quite well, some of his answers may surprise you. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome, Michael Sheargold.
Thanks, Sam.
How are you going?
Fantastic. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming along. Now, you've just come back from Principal Advance in Singapore.
Singapore, absolutely.
That's your special event for leaders within the RER network. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Real Estate Results Network, they're all independent agencies who really want to take advantage of being the market leader and dominant player in their particular marketplace.
Yep.
So this is across Australia, New Zealand, and they all come together for this conference called Principal Advance, not a retreat, an advance.
An advance.
And
that's good, actually. Yeah. That's good.
And how we can really help them move things forward at an accelerated pace. And, you know, it's about networking, it's about idea sharing, it's about redefining their growth plan and what they're focused on.
Yeah.
And I'm a great believer in that, sure, at a conference like Principal Advance, there's great ideas coming from the front of the room, but it's also who you're rubbing shoulders with. It's those fireside chats and, you know, maybe over a beer or a glass of wine or a breakfast. It's amazing what comes out of those conversations.
It is amazing too when you just take yourself out of your business for a moment and then you get some clarity around thinking about what it is you're doing and reflecting and bouncing ideas. I'm really interested to know what the mood is out there at the moment. Like some of these principals, they work for some of the bigger independent networks out there that you work with. So what's on their minds at the moment?
Yeah, great question. I think one of our themes, in fact, was most of day one at Principal Advance was around change and empowering change.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I think we think we've got the new marketing piece we've done, we've got the new idea and we've done our work versus typically the new marketing piece is the beginning of the process of implementing that. And no doubt you've heard me say the power of an idea is in its implementation.
Yep.
So empowering change is about how do you support team members go on that journey of change in such a way that they, one, buy into it, they embrace it, recognise there could be some emotional shifts with it. And one of the things that Cam McPherson, who was our guest speaker on day one, talked about is all change is personal. And when you understand all change is personal, so, okay, how's it going to impact you, Sam? And then what are we going to do to help you through that particular journey to get to another level? And clearly, the better the leaders about being able to allow people to understand there are some shifts in the market right now, there's a shift in volume, are you running with the 2015 listing appointment in 2018, let alone being ready for 2019? It'd be like Apple saying, here's the iPhone 1, would you like to buy it? No, I don't want to buy it. So what's that next version that people need to be looking at and focusing in on?
Yeah, so it's definitely about the people right now. Everyone's thinking about their people, how they can get their best out of the people.
Yes.
How they can get them more productive,
absolutely,
performing better, all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. One of the other speakers at Principal Advance, and he's actually speaking also at the Business of Real Estate, Shane Kempton, who's part of our team. Shane talks a lot about CX, the client experience, and also TX, the team experience. And you can't have strong client experience without a strong team experience.
Yeah.
In fact, yesterday I had a conversation with one of our team members and clients, and he was saying, oh, there's a better commission offered by someone else, as in for an agent. It's like, well, that's going to happen every single day of the week. Someone's going to offer a better deal, a better deal, a better deal. And it comes back to, are you talking about the commission split, the earning potential, or the team experience of actually being part of this? And one of the things that I'm absolutely focused on is helping our clients become the agency of choice for team members as well as for clients, TX as well as CX.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And I mean, look, I know that leadership is a very hot topic in real estate right now, because having a good team, a solid team, is what allows you to scale your business. You've got another leadership event coming up that's more of an industry event called the Business of Real Estate.
Yeah, yeah.
September.
Yeah, fifth year of Business of Real Estate, which is super exciting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That has gone fast.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the event. Who is it for? And what are you hoping people will take away from that event?
Yeah. I think the first thing is the reason we have the event on the Gold Coast is make it super easy to get to, in and out. I know our Sydney and Melbourne and also New Zealand clients and participants, they love coming up to the Gold Coast, a bit of warmth, sort of thawing out, ready for spring. It's also the perfect time to not only review the strategy for the end of the year, but head into 2019 as to, well, okay, what do we need to put in place? And what's interesting is, Sam, a lot of conferences start with who can we get to speak at the conference? Then they build a program around who they can get to speak. For us, we start with what are the five biggest burning issues within the profession that we need to make sure the leaders within real estate, and as you know, this is for the whole of the industry, Australia, New Zealand, agency principals and leaders, and a lot bring their teams. So there might be four lead agents who are running super teams within their office. They bring those along to Business of Real Estate as well.
Yeah.
Because it really allows them to elevate.
Well, they're still leaders, right? Even though
leaders.
They're not a principal, they're still leading a
you
team.
You bet. Yeah. And to a great extent, you go along solo. Say you and I were in business together. You go along solo to Business of Real Estate. You'll come back. The first thing you've got to do is sell me on all the things we covered on. Mm. Or I go, I've got to come back and sell you. But if we've both been through the learning process, and I talk about inspiration, information, then implementation, if you and I have been through the inspiration and the education, we can now focus together on what are we going to implement and take forward.
Yeah.
And we've got a number of clients who booked in multiple people to Business of Real Estate who are going to have a workshop either the day after or the week later where they're going to sit down and debrief that and say, okay, what are the key things that we want to take forward? But I think it's really interesting if we start out with those priorities, and they're all around leadership. So don't come to the Business of Real Estate if you want to learn how to list and sell property. Learn how to run the Business of Real Estate. I think the important point with it is that so often leaders in real estate have been a great sales agent and they bumped into a leadership role. It's by default.
Yeah.
It's not that, okay, let me go and study leadership at Stanford University and now I've got my degree in leadership or degree in management. Now I'm going to go and start a real estate business. It's been very defaultish. And one of the things that I'm continually focused on is helping a principal become a better business leader, a business owner, and ultimately an entrepreneur in that particular space versus being a sales agent running a real estate business.
There's definitely a big difference, and there's definitely a skill now in being able to get the most out of your people. So I was speaking to one of your speakers, Sharan Srivatsa. He was all about the people.
Absolutely.
So looking after the people and then the numbers will come. And, I mean, obviously he 10x'd his numbers.
I think one of the things, and Sharan, you mentioned, we said, you know, we want to really create and allow our clients to see something much bigger, a much bigger picture. So it was logical to have Sharan come in and speak because he took over a business where there were 45 in the sales team and grew it to 600 in the sales team. It's just impressive from that growth. That's not a chance model. You can grow from 10 to 12 by chance, but to actually grow 10x kind of growth, there's a significant number of leadership strategies to be in place. And yeah, it's great to know that it comes back to a team experience and providing the environment that is clearly the best option for your team to achieve their goals and make that happen.
Absolutely. Now, I've heard you talk about leadership a number of times, and you've designed a new leadership model, new leadership thinking, where you very much need to support the performance of your people. But also, I've heard you say that there is a very new breed of leader out there. So tell us about that. Tell us about what you're seeing.
Yeah. So what's interesting is we're seeing the average age of a real estate principal is above 55 now. So all of those leaders really, if they're not on the subject of thinking about succession planning, they need to be in that mode of, well, okay, where do we go to from here? And how do we create a model that lives beyond myself as a leader? Do I sell the rent roll and that's it? Or is there ability to leave a legacy beyond that? And I think a lot of the time, and Megan Jaffe is a great example of leaving a legacy and creating something that has got sustainability and endurance with it. And back to Business of Real Estate for a moment, that we have put on is a panel of high-performing agents to reflect on what they've needed at certain stages within their career, because I think so often we can get out of touch with that and we're just doing what we're doing, as opposed to, hang on a tick, in my team I've got some fast starters, I've got some rising stars, I've got some performers, I might even have some super performers, and they all need something different. And I think the old model of leadership, getting back to the model of leadership, is I'm going to lead my people the same way.
Yeah.
Well, your accountability won't work across everyone in the team.
Yeah, and it's not about barking orders anymore either. You actually work for your people. I've heard people say that a lot recently, is that you flip it around and you lift them up rather than telling them what to do.
Absolutely. Well, James Connell is MD, or Joint Managing Director, of Marshall White. And one of the things that James says is that everyone in our business are volunteers. So as soon as you think, oh, they're volunteering,
they're volunteering
to come and be part of the Marshall White business and the Marshall White team. So that has a different kind of reference as opposed to, well, I'm your boss, thou shalt do. And I think we grew up in an environment that we just wanted a job and someone who's going to pay us some money. The new generation of people coming into the business, they're looking for a cause. They're looking for something beyond the money. So what are we actually doing? And if we're not able to deliver that, then something radically is wrong. I talk about the brick, the wall, the cathedral. You go and ask the first bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm putting a brick in the wall. The second bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm building a wall. The third bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm creating this cathedral.
Yeah.
Now, they're all putting a brick in the wall, but I guarantee the one that is full of purpose is the one that's actually building the cathedral. And the more that the leaders can develop their skill set to be able to help their team build that cathedral, we actually stop fighting between the two of us and we go, hey, we're together on this. Let's focus out here
on
the big picture and what we're actually out to achieve, which is growing our market share, being known in the marketplace as the agency of choice, ultimately the default position to own.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, you just referred to market share and things like that. So it is a balancing act now for a leader to be all about the people but still keep an eye on the numbers and the productivity, because we know that's what keeps a business running at the end of the day.
Yes.
So at the moment, what are some of the KPIs do you think that leaders should have a close eye on while they're still doing a good job of looking after their people?
Yeah, great. Well, traditionally across Australia, and less so in New Zealand, but a little bit in New Zealand too, the two fundamental pillars of a real estate business is the sales business and the property management business. There are many businesses in New Zealand that it's literally a sales business with a little bit of property management that's coming into play. So I think the first thing is there needs to be a plan for both of those as to what is it we want to achieve. So with our clients, for example, and part of the Drive coaching process, we actually look at, firstly, what are the KPIs that are important from a sales point of view?
Yeah.
And then what is it from a property management point of view? And then who's going to own those particular components? And I totally agree with you. Whipping someone with numbers is not going to make the difference.
Yeah.
But being clear on creating an environment that people can step up to, and then getting clear on, well, what do some numbers look like? In a sales business, it is the number of agents that you have and it's the productivity of those agents. So one is, from a recruitment and retention point of view, I can have a huge impact on the number of agents I have within the team. Secondly, productivity. So you can track that from a result point of view, which is what we call the top of our productivity platform, which is listings and sales. But behind the scenes, what are we doing to generate the opportunities and how much sitting in the pipeline? I think sometimes when a market's in momentum, we forget about pipeline, we forget about generating, we just focus on listings and sales.
Yeah.
But this business is full of real estate roller coaster agents who have a great month followed by a lousy month followed by a great month. And I'm coaching a lot of people at the moment to either jump onto YouTube and watch Who Moved My Cheese or read the book Who Moved My Cheese, because there's too many agents that are waiting for the market to change versus for them to change to the market that they exist in. And Who Moved My Cheese is just a fantastic quick read to run at a sales meeting or a team meeting to say, let me reflect and refer on that.
Yeah. Do you know what? I haven't read that book. I'm going to go and have a look
Please do. You'll love it. You'll love it.
But, I mean, it is interesting because your results right now are a direct result of what you did 30, 60, 90 days ago, not...
Yeah.
So that silver bullet of I need a listing now is just not a sustainable...
Correct. In our program called Turning Point, one of the things I massively reinforce, when you're generating business, you're not looking for listings, you're looking for listing opportunities.
Yeah.
So how many listing opportunities have you identified this week? And what are we doing to bubble those to the surface? I think there's a lot of agents out there that are still looking for, are you ready to go today? The smart agents are becoming even more effective in managing their pipeline over a long period of time. I've even got clients who'd prefer someone who was 2 to 3 months away from listing because they can demonstrate value and point of difference before they actually get to sitting at the table to list the property. They can take competitors out before they get to the listing appointment, which is pretty impressive.
I was talking to someone else the other day. That's classic blue ocean strategy. Like, I don't want the people that are ready to list now. I actually want the people that other people aren't looking at.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if you're a principal or a team leader or something like that, that you want to give your team a boost and get them more productive and work on being a better leader, the business of real estate is the right event to be at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So, Arik, I haven't caught up with you since Arik because Arik was just a bit of a mental time and we didn't even manage to grab you and get you on our couch.
I know. Sorry about that.
So
it's a fair bit happening.
Yeah, lots going on. But I did see your keynote at Arik, which was fantastic. You were talking about making a difference rather than making a dollar, which is the way a lot of people are thinking at the moment. So just for the people that perhaps weren't at Arik, talk me through what your thinking is there.
One of the things that I had like a mini anxiety about, there was a lot of look at me, look at me, look at me, look at how much money I'm making. Because in my eyes, Sam, the more that you actually focus on making a difference, the more you'll be rewarded behind the scenes. If your focus is on making a dollar, it's a bit commission breathish versus if you flip it around and say, no, I'm actually focused on making a difference. So the more people I can help to buy, sell, lease, rent on their property journey, the better results will produce. I think the other thing is that when you start to make a difference, it's not just about, are you ready to list, are you ready to sell, are you ready to buy? It's actually also about, well, you've got existing clients there. And I've apologized to clients for this. I used to call people past clients. It's incorrect.
Yeah.
Once they've done business with you, they're a client.
Clients.
Not a past client. They're a client. They just happen to be living in their property rather than thinking about selling it. So how can you add value to them? What's the service process you can put in place to make sure the next time around, it's not a beauty parade business. You've actually got it. You're the person. And then lifetime value of a client is about how many people are they going to refer to you over that time frame. And are you looking after your referrals? Are you saying thank you for referrals, as simple as that is, in a way that's making a difference? And you're just known as a great human being.
Well, that's it. You're a great human. You're a great real estate agent. But let me ask you this. A lot of people say that they've got a point of difference or something like that, but you talked about don't just have a point of difference, have a point of value. So explain to me what the difference between the two is.
Excellent. So a point of difference is attached to me. We're different because we've got this many people in the sales team. We're different because we've got this market share. We're different because we've been in business less than we've got this many offices. We sell properties in this length of time. It's all about us.
Yeah.
So it's very chest beatious, like, aren't we great? The shift of that is point of difference is attached to me, and let's say you're the vendor, point of value is actually attached to you. Now, let's flip it around. Typically, there are less buyers in the marketplace. I'm making a generalisation across, you know, Australia, New Zealand right now, but typically there is, and there's less stock in the marketplace. But let's focus firstly on the buyers. Do you want this property? Yes, no, see you later. That was able to be done a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
If you don't want to buy it, get out of here, someone else will.
Mm.
So the quality of buyer management was very, very poor. This is causing, and you know, one of the things I said as recently as this morning with the team, there's less buyers in the market, therefore you can deliver better service. And they went, oh, yes, because they've been delivering the same service to less buyers. Why would you do that? You can deliver a better level of value. So therefore, if I'm describing a property, I can either say it's three bedrooms, it's this or it's this, or how do I shift it from there, the features, to how does that add value to you? Mm-hmm. Where are you at? What are you looking for ideally? What's on your wish list and how can I help you achieve it? Flip that back around to a vendor, and this is something we coach in with our agents. If a client can say, so what, we're truly not a benefit yet. So we're attached to us. So a feature's attached to me, a benefit's attached to you.
Yeah.
So how do I shift a point of difference to a point of value where the value you actually truly own and see? And this is called value stacking. So all of a sudden I go, or you can go in your mind is, wow, yes, that, yes, that, yes, that, yes, that, yes, that, yes, that. And all of a sudden we're building this beautiful value stack where you can see there's not just a point of difference, but there's a point of value in securing me as your agent to make that happen. So versus me securing you as my client, you see value in securing me as your agent to be able to achieve that result. And it's interesting, one of the legends who was involved in Arik very early on, Bob Bolan. Not sure you remember Bob?
I haven't met him, but I've heard about him a lot.
Yeah. So one of the things that Bob would do is most people go to a listing appointment And they're in the mode of, what am I going to say to convince this person that I'm the right agent?
Yeah.
He would go into a listing appointment and he'd be thinking, what am I going to learn from these clients? It's a totally different shift.
I love that.
It's like I'm now in this sort of like discovery mode. I wonder what I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
So I become real fascinated and interested in the client. And lo and behold, you know, why did you list with that agent? I just felt more comfortable with them. They knew what they were talking about. They were more interested in me. They just were impressive in terms of how they connected.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget the importance of that.
Yeah, great question. What will I learn?
Mm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I've really enjoyed spending time with you talking about leadership and the business of real estate and what you're coaching agents with at the moment. It's all been pretty fascinating. But now I want to talk about you.
Fantastic.
Because this interview is part of a series we're calling the Leadership Diaries, where we ask different people in the industry and outside of the industry different questions on leadership to get an idea of what your thoughts are on leadership in your own business. So now put your leadership hat on for the RER Network.
Excellent.
So are you ready?
I am. Thank you.
All right. So, Michael, what was your first job and what did it teach you?
Excellent. So my first job out of school and outside of being paid by my parents money in bits and pieces was at a motorcycle store that sold Honda and Suzuki and all of that.
Harley?
They didn't have Harleys. So I was more on the dirt bike side of things and I raced motocross for 7 years.
Wow.
So that was sort of like a really fun thing. So I think what I learned there the most was the concept of profit. If you buy a bike for $1,000 and you sell a bike for $1,000, there's no profit in that. And a pretty easy lesson to learn. But you know what? A lot of, I think, real estate professionals still get caught in, and agents get caught in the mode of saying, look at how much money I brought in. Wow, look at how much money that principal is making, but don't understand all of the costs involved. And there's huge costs involved in running a real estate business.
Yeah.
To literally open the doors, from rent to photocopiers to internet services to technology to insurances and all those sorts of things, payroll tax.
You don't realise it, realize do you, until you're in the hot seat
and,
yourself.
And until you're on the other side of it. And I've had the odd chat to new principals that have said, I had no idea what was on the other side of this particular fence. Pretty interesting. That was the first learning. My second, I set up a motorcycle publication. I didn't know that I couldn't do it kind of mode. So set up a motorcycle publication. This is going to age me quite significantly. So we both in publishing, who would have thought?
Yeah, who'd have thought?
We had an Adler 2000 character typewriter.
Oh, wow.
In this. So you type an article in, print it out, proofread it, format it, print it out, and then it was all stick up. So, you know, literally on big sheets and so on. And off it went to get printed. Anyway, I bought a computer for that business and it was this amazing kind of thing. Like, how good is this? So I got involved in the computer industry very early on.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, absolutely love my time with technology. And look, some of the things we're able to offer our clients today is a direct reflection of the work that we did back then in my understanding of technology and how it all comes together and works.
Yeah.
I had a boss in those days. His name was Greg Trigger. And I remember, you know how you have a honeymoon in business?
Yeah.
It's the first 3 months, 3 month honeymoon. And then at school, I learned an interesting lesson that if my excuse was good enough, the result didn't matter. So I was really good at rolling out excuses. You know, she'd go, where's your homework? Oh, it sort of blew out the window.
Yep.
I was reviewing it on the way there and sorry about that.
Yeah.
And here am I 3 months in and Greg Trigger says, so let's have a look at your results. And I rolled out school strategy, which was if the excuse was good enough, the result didn't matter. I wore ties in those days and he literally leaned across the desk, grabbed me and yanked on my tie and said, Sheargold, I said, yeah, that's me. he said, if you're part of my team, the excuses are not going to cut it. You're going to actually be focused on the things you need to produce the results or not.
Yeah.
And it was only 15 seconds, but that 15 seconds had that pebble in the pond ripple effect that one, I can remember it today, it shifted how I was operating from an excuse model to, no, I need to step up to the plate and truly deliver on these things.
Yeah, that's a really important lesson.
Absolutely. Good one to learn early.
Absolutely. Yeah. What does the first hour of your day look like and how does it go after that? Are you a 5 a.m. clubber or are you a bit later or?
It varies. It varies for me in the morning. It all starts with this. So depending on where I'm traveling to or where I am, I'll typically use the alarm clock. Quite often I wake up the minute before the alarm and that kind of thing. And then I do what I call a lucky stretch. Now, when I share this with clients, sometimes I get a laugh and say, okay, what's a lucky stretch?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still in bed. We had a little Jack Russell, his name was Lucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does a dog do the first thing they get up in the morning? They do a stretch.
Stretch.
Like that. So I do a stretch and literally just remind my mind and body that we're actually connected. We're one whole ingredient. I said, do a stretch, get everything going and moving. Then I asked this question. So I'm still in bed, laying down. I say, what is the most important thing that I want to achieve today? And interestingly, this morning, Sam, you were on the most important.
How's that?
How cool is that?
How cool is that? Yeah.
So to add some value, to share some ideas that can actually help the profession advance and move forward.
And does that really focus you in on?
Massively.
You know,
massively.
Like, yeah. So that whole thinking process of just what is the most important thing I need to achieve?
Yes.
Connect to yourself.
Definitely.
And then the day.
Definitely. That's the first thing I do.
Okay, right.
So most important, that's a really neat kind of centering. The next thing I do is, what am I grateful for? So I'm not journaling this, I'm just literally going through this. And it's interesting, with what am I grateful for, I might go through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, 8 things. And it's just this nice little like ba-ding, 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 ba-ding. And it's this beautiful hit of valuing the things that are in my life right now.
Yeah.
And the third question, as we're now moving into go mode, is how can I love even more today?
Oh.
And it's a real open question. So how can I love even more today? Second, how can I love us spending time together? How can I love the clients we're working with early on today? How can I love healthy conversation that might have some energy attached to it? But the reason it's got energy attached to it because people are passionate about making a difference and doing something and moving things forward.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, actually. It's a great way to start the day.
So it's a cool startup. And then from there, depending on if I'm at home, typically I gym in the morning. If I'm traveling, I typically gym at night. So fitness is there. And, of course, I am checking my Fitbit on a regular basis. How is my sleep? How am I going in terms of steps and so on?
There are so many people in the industry that have learnt so much from you over the years because you've been one of the longest serving coaches, I think.
Where's my walking stick?
No, not at all. But who would you say, like, as humans, we're always learning. Who are you learning from right now?
My biggest teachers, without a doubt, are my clients. There's no question about it because clients put you into real life situations. So I would say every single client is really helping me uncover and see something new and something different.
I think you sit in a really interesting position to learn from people like that too, because you would see different patterns emerging fairly quickly just by talking to people.
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. In your business, where do great ideas come from?
I think, again, it's a combination. So I used to do 30 days of learning per year where I'd say a month, okay, I'm going to go in and learn. So who's best in the world at this? Where can I go to study this? What learning am I going to do? What is it going to be reflection learning? Is it going to be an active learning? Is it going to be study tours? What learning is it going to be?
Yeah.
So each year, personally, I have a theme, you know, what's my learning theme for the year? And then if a course along those lines comes across with that, I'll naturally put that on my agenda. It'll be an easy decision to make. That's now 10 to 12 days per year of learning and a little bit more discerning as to what I'm going to these days.
Yeah.
But what it allows me to do is I think I need to be continually looking at my skill set and what I'm focused on if I'm actually helping other clients do that.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of, you know, what we spoke of before, you know, learning from clients and then seeing, hang on, if you take this and this and this and this and this idea to the next level, you end up with something pretty spectacular. So it's a combination of the external, going to those environments, and then bringing it back into an internal.
And having a look at how it all fits together.
Yeah, a mashup.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, tricky question now. Although you've been pretty good so far, you haven't stumbled on any of them. But what is your favourite question to ask somebody in a job interview?
Tell me a time when.
And what does that tell you?
So this happens a lot in real estate. Is real estate, we say, are you good at computers?
No.
Yes. Do you know the hours are going to be long? Yes. Are you up for the challenge? Yes. have you got a problem with this? No. And all of a sudden you get this. Oh.
Yeah.
So tell me a time when you had to go in and put extra energy and effort in to get the result that you actually really wanted to.
How did you bust through that?
Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah.
And like, never really had a time we've had to go beyond. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which tells you something else, right?
Yeah. Tell me about a team you've been involved in the past. You'd be a sporting team or a business team. And what did you guys achieve? Oh, well, the last team I was involved in, you know, we all hated each other and stuff like that. So, okay, great. How's that going to work out? It's a wonderful background. Can I add one more question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other question I really like is, why would you actually add value to our business?
Mm.
So why and how would you add value to the business? particularly if you've done a great job of positioning, here's what we're about,
yep.
You know, how is it you're going to come in to add value to that process?
What sort of an answer to that question would you be looking for?
Something that inspires me, something that I go, wow, that's actually really cool. Now, would I make that the first question in an interview? The answer is no. It's like, I'm frozen.
We want to wait till we've been talking for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the best way, do you think, for a new team member to understand the culture of a business?
Well, one of the things I say in leadership coaching is that culture is caught, not taught. Mm-hmm. So by all means, you can have your culture written down, here's what our culture is going to be. But within a week or two of someone being part and involved in your business, they're going to catch the culture. And if it's in line with what you said it was on the wall or in the document, then great. But if it's not, they're going to catch the culture that exists as opposed to what's actually in there. So the best way for someone to catch that culture, and look, there could be some people listening in to say that our culture's a little bit off where we want it to be.
Yeah.
The thing I love to talk about is a performance-based culture. So what does a performance-based culture look like? And start to have the team members embrace what that actually is all about. I think for a leader too, that if the culture isn't what they want it to be, I like to go out 12 months from now and say, just describe exactly how your ideal culture would like to be. And then step back from that and say, what are the logical steps to get us there? And occasionally it's freeing up someone's future. Occasionally you've got someone who they're holding back the other people. They're not allowing people to move forward and evolve and develop. And really, if you've got a combination of performers and players in your business, you'll be doing exceptionally well. If you've got passengers and pissed off in your business, then that's going to have a massive impact on where people head long term.
What is the one superpower that every leader needs to have today?
I believe it's empathy. I believe it's the ability to tune in. So a bit of emotional intelligence with this, to be able to tune in and read the play. And if you're not reading the play, how on earth can you possibly shift the play? But if I can actually get an understanding of where you're at, not sympathy, empathy, where you're at, and then how can I help you shift, it's an absolute key. You know, I'm known to say the number one role of a leader is to create positive energy in the direction of the vision and to clear negative energy getting in the way of the vision. The only way you find out where that energy's at is through empathy.
Yeah, through really stepping into that person's shoes.
And what's interesting, I used to think I was really good at stepping into other people's shoes. So I'd say, if I was Sam, this is how I would think. If I was in Sam's shoes, this is how I'd be thinking.
Yeah.
That's not true empathy. Empathy is, where's Sam at? How's Sam thinking? Let me step in and be Sam, thinking about from her point of view. And all of a sudden, it's a different kind of a shift. And from there, you can start to amplify the talent. You can improve the team performance. You can start to recognize you're on a learning journey and I'm on a learning journey. As opposed to, no, let me say I'm the boss, I'm the leader. I'm smarter, better than you. I don't need to be the smartest person in the room. What I want to do is actually have these incredibly talented individuals that bubble to the surface. And by hanging around me, they become smarter individuals and smarter people, like sales and property management. Sales will say there's issues in property management. Property management says there's issues in sales. Well, if you actually get over it, have some empathy, step into each other's shoes and play the game of how do we support each other? Because two of the big opportunities from a referral and growth point of view is property management to sales and sales to property management. So why not have that work incredibly well?
The law of reciprocity.
You bet.
You've been hanging around real estate agents for a long time now. So what's the worst advice you've ever heard given to an agent or to a leader?
The process of saying we don't want any conflict in our business. Conflict is not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing. In fact, one of my favourite sayings is good timber doesn't grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. Oh. So a lot of the time people get caught in this mode of, well, we don't want any conflict around here. You don't want any conflict that hangs around for a while. But what you do want is to have people have different opinions. You want people to shake things up and say, oh, I think we can actually do this better. Great, let's have a look at it. Now, if the leader is feeling in any way insecure, what they'll do is to say, shut the, you know what, up. Your job is to get out and list and sell, get back on your bike and do it and don't rock the boat. Versus the next best idea isn't necessarily from the highly paid consultant who comes in on the white horse. It's actually about recognizing that the team has so much value to add. And when you can have people not just turning up, but truly turned on to the vision, back to that, you know, brick the wall, the cathedral, seeing something beyond where they're at, that's when they start to turn into something amazing. In my opinion, great leaders want people who are going to be part of the business for a long period of the time. You keep the people, you will keep the profits. You lose the people, you will lose the profits. It's that simple.
Okay, so lastly, for people attending the Business of Real Estate or in fact any event, what are your tips for getting the most possible out of that event?
Yes. Look, I think there's a lot of people at the moment that are in that mode of a bit of confusion. And whether we like it or not, if someone's got a level of confusion, they'll typically stall. So one of the things I say is a confused mind stalls. So if we can flip that around and move it from confusion to clarity and certainty and the confidence to do what they need to do, it's still like being able to boldly make their decisions and move things forward.
Like the road opens.
Yeah, the road opens.
Yeah.
Or there might be seven different options I can take. So I'm confused, which one should I take? And I've got too many options. Well, it's interesting. If you look at the derivation of the word decision, it comes from incision, and that is to cut off. So a decision is actually cutting off options.
Yep.
So for me, someone coming to business of real estate, they've probably got some options as to how they're thinking about their business, how they're going to grow their business, what they're going to do, who do they need to add value to more so within their business. Is there anyone they need to free up some futures to be able to clean up the culture? All of that.
Yep.
So they're going to walk in with all those things going on in their business. And they're going to have 2 days to be able to reflect on that and start to truly see what are the opportunities. Stimulated by the front of the room with 16 amazing speakers that have been chosen because of their expertise in a particular field. And then over that learning journey, be able to reflect on their business, and particularly if they're there with some colleagues, brainstorm with their colleagues to walk back in with a very focused plan. So walk in with some confusion, walk out with clarity, certainty, and confidence to be able to build not only a strong plan for the end of this year, but into 2019 and beyond.
Yeah, amazing. Michael Sheargold, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sam. Really appreciate it.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.